We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also very happy to have back here with us once again the man we like to call our chef in residence. It's as we have said so many times, there's nothing reticent about this guy. And it's a purely honorary title, but we put it on him a long time ago because Doyle Moore, the guy, stops by here once a month. It's always on a Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month, and we talk about cooking. And it is always fun. We have a good time. We exchange recipes. We sometimes tell stories. And he starts us off with some topic, and there's no rules, but we sort of start at one place and then see where we go. And he said, well, this time around, he was interested in talking a little bit about preserves, which may start, as I said in my promo, I think for a lot of people say, oh, okay, you mean fruit. Right. And well, OK, there are fruit preserves, but he has one he's going to share with us. You're not going to believe, ladies and gentlemen. So we'd be very happy to have calls. If you want to just call and say hi, that's well. If you have a recipe to share or some story to tell, you know, what have you, that's great. Any and all that is fine. 333-9455. Here in Champaign-Urbana, toll-free, 800-222-9455. You can also send us an email, will-talk@illinois.edu. So we always do the same thing here at the beginning. We sort of say, so you've been thinking about preserves.
You may wonder why. I brought in preserves. Yes, I've in the last 3 weeks, I have made three sets of preserves, and I realized, you know, sort of matter of, why are you doing this? Well, one, because I can, and two, because they interested me. I've got two recipes that are brand new to me, and I did them both, and I like both of them. And I gave some away as a birthday present last week, and then I've got some that I'm saving for myself. And so, I mean, you know, they're neat and easy and fast for gifts. And I don't go to the problem of canning them and steaming them and all of that because I use them up too fast myself, this year for the first time in many years, I don't know why, and maybe I don't know where I was, but. I can get a watermelon with a thick rind on it. And for years and years and years, it's been those little melons that are only about so big that have a quarter of an inch of rind. You can't make preserves or pickles from that. And I bought the big watermelon. I said, I want that watermelon. And I saved I saved all the skins while I was eating the watermelon. And then made them into the preserves. Mother always made preserves and pickles, watermelon preserves. Mm. And I tried to make the preserves, and I failed because I cook too fast and too hot. And what happened was the sugar content got to the hardball stage and ended up being rock candy. But I know that the thing is, well, I just have to turn it down and wait longer, and then I'll get what I wanted from that. But the watermelon's gone right now, so I won't have to repeat that. And then I came across a recipe of all things, bacon jam.
this is the one, folks.
This is the one.
Bacon jam.
It seems really neat, and it is. I mean, if you're a fan of bacon, bacon jam is just a wonderful thing. It is meant to sort of go on hamburgers as a it started in Washington State, I think, in Seattle, a bacon jam, And it's used for hamburgers, so it really becomes a kind of a chutney.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like a chutney. Mm-hmm. But I thought, and I still think, if I had any left, it was compulsive to eat it. I didn't have to clean the pan because I'm sitting there eating it and cleaning the pan, and it just you take one bite and ooh, I'll have another. It really was compulsive for me to eat that, but I think it would be good on a slice of baguette with some Vermont white cheddar cheese.
Oh yeah, I like the
sound. You mean there's cheese and bacon. I mean it's the flavors are so familiar, and let me quickly give the recipe. It's so easy that you can all memorize it in 10 seconds. I used Wright's bacon. I like Wright's bacon. It's very thick. It's made in Missouri, and I remember visiting the Wright's where they sold things on the highway. It would be on the highway as I would be going home to Kansas. And I remember Wright's Foods for a long, long time. Well, we can get Wright's bacon in town at, I don't know all the places, but I know that one major place is Sam's, and it's thick sliced, and it's hickory smoked and thick sliced. So, and they sell it in 2-pound packages. Unfortunately, they sell it in two-pound packages, so you end up with
four pounds of bacon.
But I take the 2 pounds of bacon and just simply cut it in 3/4-inch pieces or even 1/2-inch pieces, and have all this bacon, and then you put it in the pot and slowly bring it up and render all that fat off of it. Now, don't cook the bacon until it's crisp. Still wants to be not a crispy fried bacon strip, and then drain off the fat because there's too much fat with that. Then 2 onions, and I got Walla Wallas are in right now, and I still have 3 Vidalias, but a nice sweet onion, Walla Walla or Vidalia or a Maui onion, if you have somebody who's sending you Maui onions. Those are chopped and put into that mixture and cook it down until the onions sort of turn transparent. And then add 1 cup of brown sugar and 2 cups of balsamic vinegar. Don't buy the expensive balsamic vinegar. Buy the inexpensive balsamic vinegar, and because it's going to reduce and cook down. And you would lose the quality of the real good that's already thick. It would be too thick by the time you were doing it. So, and inexpensive, but it's a good taste. So there it is. It's vinegar and brown sugar and onions and bacon, and that's cooked very slowly. Again, slowly, there's no. It's by eye. It's not a matter of, okay, so many minutes doing this.
Hmm.
It's by eye and until it's just to a jam consistency. Now, of course, hot jam is thinner than cold jam. So keep watching it.
Yeah.
Oh, is it good? Is it ever good?
That sounds really good. I like the idea of the hamburger. I also, it's got me thinking
of... No, not hamburger, bacon.
I mean
putting it on a hamburger. Yeah, putting it on a hamburger.
And also I'm thinking, well, you know, club sandwich, rather than laying strips of bacon on there, you know,
well,
maybe that would be, you'd have nice, some good turkey, maybe a little cheddar cheese
yes,
on
indeed.
There.
Yes,
some
sir.
Nice lettuce. Put some of this stuff on there, good bread.
Don't eat any mayonnaise or mustard.
You got yourself something.
Yeah,
I think so.
I made it and promptly gave it away for birthday presents. two birthdays on the same day. Okay, there's yours. And everyone was jumping up and down about it. I'll hear, that was just last week, I'll hear later about how good they liked it or not. I can hardly wait to make some more, except... I can't be a bacon eater as much. So that was a problem. And, oh, gosh, were the leftovers good. I was just cleaning and slurping up that. It was so good. And I've tried, so I'm trying to figure out why am I compelled to eat this? Well, bacon does that to you somehow. I mean, you know, you eat a slice of bacon, you'd like another. You know, mm-hmm. bacon does somehow. There's no hot, there's no peppers in this. So it's pretty straightforward, and so that it's that chutney thing of vinegar and brown sugar, brown sugar, and then the onions. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put anything else in it. I wouldn't add nuts. I wouldn't add other vegetables or anything, because then you just end up with it's bacon chutney then, if you do that, and no spices. Doesn't need any spices because the bacon's hickory smoked, so it's really straightforward. It's the easiest thing I've ever made. I thought I had the recipe. I did have it typed out somewhere, but I left out the onions, and so running out the door, I said, "There, where it is? It where is it?" So I wrote that before I ran out the door this morning. Mm-hmm.
So where did you come across this recipe?
I heard about it on television, of course. My source. Uh-huh. I'm glued to that thing. I like the fantasy of all these foods.
Yeah.
And we've got more food stations to watch now than you can more than I can.
Yeah.
I sort of surf the food channels now instead of others.
Yeah.
But it came from Washington State, from Seattle.
Very well.
So there we have it.
Bacon jam, ladies and gentlemen.
Bacon jam.
You heard it here. Well, probably you. Yeah, unless of course.
Unless you were hearing the same program I heard.
Oh, you say, oh, bacon jam. Oh, I know all about bacon jam. Well, it's there it is. And we're talking this morning with the man we'd like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. It's our monthly show on cooking. We do it the first Wednesday of the month. And try to pick some topic and then sort of talk around that and about that and exchange recipes and stories. And if you want to call in, give us a call, 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Maybe you have some sort of unusual
anything dealing with sort of saving and conserving, and even we could even go into pickles, but we did that pretty thoroughly once and realized we hadn't really done much with jam.
Yeah.
And so I thought we could talk about some of the sweet things you might like to make.
Sure.
Peaches just finished. We still get good peaches here. I just brought the last peaches from northern Kentucky. Their peach harvest is over, but we're still going peach. Peaches are good, and peach preserves are a good thing to think about.
And I like the idea you said if you make it up, and pretty much if you make it up and eat it, you don't have to go through all I'm thinking about preserves. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you got to have all the jars and the lids, and you got to process it right, and you want to make sure you do it right because you don't want to get sick
right
from it. But with something like this, it's kind of like, it makes me also think of the refrigerator pickle.
That's exactly,
you make it
exactly.
You can keep it for a week or a couple of weeks, but then you make it, you eat it. You don't have to worry about doing all that other stuff to process it.
And sugar is a preserver, and you just have to make sure that bacteria doesn't get to it and turn it into fuzz.
Well, you need to, make sure that your whatever you're going to store it in is clean.
Yeah,
and you make sure that you get it into the fridge.
But
I generally
eat it up. Yeah, I keep it in the fridge. It's easy enough to do.
Yeah, all right. Bacon jam, ladies
bacon
and gentlemen.
Bacon jam.
333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. And you can even send us an email, will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, that I was also thinking about how, in introducing the program, saying, well, probably people think preserves, they think of things that are sweet. But there are many different kinds of things, your bacon jam, things that chutneys, things that you make that are maybe have a combination of a sweet and salty, or maybe a spicy and sweet, or maybe they're not even, maybe they're just a savory thing. So it's it goes beyond you, what you would think about strawberry preserves, peach preserves,
right,
apricot.
Right. Yeah. Preserves. First thing in your mind is strawberry preserves.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
And it follows that very much. Well, I would have brought you some for a taste, but I gave
but
it
you
all.
Ate it all.
I ate it and gave
you
it all
it
away.
Well, that's okay.
And I just didn't have the energy to whip up some more just to bring you some. But maybe I should have done that.
I'll have to make my own bacon jam. My wife would like that. She likes the bacon. There's a particular kind of bacon she's really fond of that's called Newski's. That's a Wisconsin thing, and you can't get it here.
Oh.
Yeah, it's very good.
Well, it's very use good. Some.
That would be, yes. Okay, we'll get some Newski bacon, and we'll make some bacon jam.
This quantity will make 1.5 tubs, like margarine tubs, 1.5. This 2 pounds of bacon and 2 onions and brown sugar and balsamic vinegar. Mm-hmm. That'll make that. So I just stuck it in some old cottage cheese containers and stuck it in the icebox. Let it stay. But it didn't stay very long. Well, that's one thought. I mean, I'm sure that there are some traditional things that folks get wrapped up in doing of preserves. And I remember, and with great sorrow, I'm sure I've told this story before, but I think I was in the sixth grade. I think that was sixth grade. And Mother sent me to Safeways to get some little yellow pear tomatoes.
Yes, I think I recall the story.
Right. And so I got the little package of they're just in a little strawberry box. Mm. And I tasted one. It tasted good. And by the time I got home, there weren't very many left in the bottom of that box. And I didn't realize that I indeed was just eating them like candy. And and we didn't have any yellow preserves that year.
So what did Mom say when you got home?
She was not pleased, but I was not reprimanded in any way other than to remind that I had sort of made it possible for us not to have any jam. That was hard enough. Mm-hmm. And I see them every once in a while, and I'm just... I know if I bought them, I would probably start eating them straight out of the box.
Mm-hmm. I think we got to get a caller lined up here. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We'd be happy to have stories about preserves or recipes or questions or, you know, what have you. No hard and fast rules on the program, but we're certainly happy to hear from folks. Again, the telephone number here, Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. And there's the email. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do that too, will-talk@illinois.edu. And we do have a caller here in Urbana, line one.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hello.
You know, I was driving home and suddenly I heard about this bacon jam.
Yes.
But I cannot remember all the measurements. So could you tell me how much bacon, onion?
Oh, yes. 2 pounds of bacon.
Oh, 2 pounds, okay.
And 2 large onions chopped.
Okay.
1 cup of brown sugar.
Okay.
And 2 cups of balsamic vinegar.
Okay.
Get an inexpensive balsamic vinegar, good quality, but inexpensive, one that isn't, you know, don't get that 25-year-old stuff, which is wonderful, but because it will cook down, and that's what you want this to do, is to thicken up as it cooks.
And what does it look like? Look like jam or?
It's black. It's black, 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 yes.
And how long you cook it?
Well, to the eye until it gets jam-like, and uh-huh. That took me at least 45 minutes to an hour.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad. But uh-huh. You want to watch it.
Yeah.
You don't have to stand over it.
Yeah.
But you don't. What you don't want to do, and this is what I've learned in making it, is you don't want to let it cook so long that it turns into the hard ball stage.
Oh, yeah.
So what you're going to do is maintain the heat, which is less than 200, I think, for the softball stage. Uh-huh. Don't let it get above 200. But I didn't use my candy thermometer. Uh-huh. I just went ahead and whoops, it went too far.
You know, my mouth water when you say it.
Well, it doesn't it sound good?
You know, it's like salty, sweet.
Yes,
and sour.
Yes.
My mouth just waters.
Yes.
Just listening to your recipe.
Well, it really works, and and as I say, I sort of like the idea of it maybe be smeared on a piece of bread with some good white. Vermont cheddar cheese on it.
Yes.
Those the cheddar cheese would go with that bacon and that sweet, sour, salty taste. Ooh.
You know, I don't care what the doctor say. I'm going to eat some bacon anyway.
Good for you.
You know,
I mean, it makes enough that you can. You don't have to eat it all at once.
Because you said that you're not supposed to eat too much bacon.
No, I can't either. I can't.
I'm in the same situation.
Yes.
But I'm going to break the law.
Well, it's worth it. I'm telling you, you are worth making. When you will dance around. I swear, you will dance around the table. It really is so exciting.
I think I will make it for Christmas gift.
That would be a wonderful gift.
And so you mentioned that you bought the bacon from Sam's.
I did. I like the Sam's bacon is Wrights, Wrights.
Oh, right. The last name Wright. Right?
Yeah, Wrights.
Uh-huh. And it's that Sam, right?
Uh-huh. And it's I don't know. I think that the Wrights bacon's maybe someplace else in town too. I don't really know right now.
Because it's thick fried.
It's
right?
Thick. It's very thick.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you fry it, you don't want to
crispy.
Fry it crisp. Don't fry it crisp.
Yeah.
Get it down so because you're going to cook it for another hour after that.
Yeah. You know, I can imagine that it's going to be delicious.
It is. It is, and you will love it.
Salty, sweet, and sour.
This
sweet taste.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes, you're very welcome.
Well, thanks for coming.
You live in here, live in Urbana-Champaign?
In Champaign, yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I guess I was thinking before that was what part of the appeal of something like this, that it has these, it's a combining of some of the elemental tastes that we like sweet things that are both salty and sweet.
Yes.
And that's why everybody likes chocolate covered peanuts.
Well, yes.
Because it's because it's salty and sweet. So and this also brings in the acid, the vinegar angle, wrapping all those three things together.
That's a very German taste, the sweet and sour taste. Is a very German taste that I've always liked. The cucumber pickles with sugar and vinegar. You know, that's all you have on. Well, that's it. The sweet and sour. Put that together. But this is cooked a little longer. And don't be frightened of it because it'll turn black. It just is. It is black as ebony.
Okay. We'll try it. We'll see. And a special dispensation, I suppose. If you're only going to eat a tablespoon of it as a garnish.
A little
flavor addition to what you're having. That's probably okay.
So you want the jam. Mm-hmm. You want the jam to be thin. You don't want it to be so thick that you can't spread it or that it doesn't. So you just have to watch what you're cooking until it gets down to that stage where, well, I believe it's done. And you could, I think the old method would have been to take it and dip some onto a saucer and either rub it on the saucer or put it in the refrigerator for a few seconds
just to cool it,
just
to see what
to see what it looks
what
like,
it looks like.
While you're cooking. I know that is one of the techniques that people use, and since this is so, I mean, it's so ethereal, like, you know, who does it, what, you know, it's the angels come down and touch it, and it's made. Is what it is.
I'm concerned here. The divine intervention might be required to really dig it.
It would be appreciated. It would be appreciated.
Otherwise, you'll end up with with bacon candy. Brittle. Bacon candy.
Bacon brittle. Brittle. Yeah, it will, because it'll turn into the hard crack of the sugar, and it will turn into, yeah, bacon brittle. I don't know that'd be so bad. Might be that. In fact, maybe I'll invent bacon brittle.
The beginning of a brand new product
for hors d'oeuvres or snacks, dinner parties. Yes, bacon brittle.
Bacon brittle. Mm-hmm. I'm going to real quick register that as a trademark,
yeah.
Bacon brittle, so that nobody can come along and use it.
Oh.
Questions welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. You want to give us an email, will-talk@illinois.edu. Just to, technically, I mean, if you had some fresh fruit and you wanted to do a kind of a preserve, you know, make a kind of a jam.
Uh-huh.
So what are the essential, other than just taking the fruit and cooking it down, is what's the essential thing that you're
sugar
adding? Just sugar.
Sugar. And in fact some things have only sugar added, and then you just cook it down. So what you're really doing is that preserving, the sweet preserving with sugar, just like as we said, strawberry preserves are made very quickly and very easily, and again, you can just put them in the refrigerator and leave them alone after you've cooked them. But they're only sugar and fruit, and so I've got another recipe. This is another thing that I made within the last month. This is a chili pepper jam. Now this is not jalapeno jelly, which was very, very popular in the South. Jalapeno jelly. In fact, it's better. It's better than jalapeno jelly. I leaped when I saw a big package of some red peppers. Are so expensive. They're very expensive. But there is a kind of red pepper which is about eight or 9 inches long. And about the size of a banana, in width.
Oh, uh-huh.
So it looks like a bunch of bananas there, and they are touted to be exceedingly sweet and very delicious. So I found a whole package of those. They don't seem to sell them individually, but they sell them in packages. But since you're using about 8 ounces, that's a half of a pound. Of these red peppers, that seemed to be the best way, and they were very easy, and they were easy to seed and easy to chop up, and so there you cut them in half and seed them, and then you can let's see, a pound. I'm sorry, a pound and a half of the red peppers, and 8 ounces of a chili pepper. Now I put in one red serrano in all of this. So in a pound and a half of red peppers, I put in just very little. You could use jalapeno, but I use the little red serrano. They're a little bit hotter. 2 cups of apple cider vinegar and 4 cups of sugar. Well, I cut the sugar in half right away. And only put in 2 cups of sugar. I found almost any recipe that I have, I can cut the sugar in half and still really have something worthwhile. So I cut it down to 2 cups of sugar and 2 cups of cider vinegar and a pound and a half of red pepper, and then one or two little serranos. So in the pot, you combine they aren't chopped up or anything. They're just cut in halves or small piece or big pieces, the apple cider vinegar, and cover it. It doesn't want to evaporate too much. Cover it and cook it for a time until the peppers are soft. Then you drain the pepper mixture, and you can mash it out with the back of a wooden spoon to get any of the excess liquid, and then the skins disappear. You can throw them away. What I did was that I then you put all this into the blender and puree it up, So it's all you've got everything all pureed, and if you have to press it through a sieve to get rid of the skins, that's where you do it. And then you add sugar a little at a time and mix it till the sugar is dissolved, just a little at a time, and then cook a mixture. It'll be about 40 minutes until it resembles a jam texture, and you cool it and put it in a jar.
Hmm.
By the instructions of David Rocco.
Okay.
This is a Tuscan jam. And I thought, gee, I'm so fond of red peppers, because they have such a nice taste, and a lot of people don't like green peppers. They refuse to eat anything with green peppers in it. So I thought, well, I'm going to give that a try. Well, I made it a try, and I have two nice jars of red pepper jam.
Sounds very good.
And it isn't hot. It isn't something really hot. It 'cause I didn't put that much red pepper in it.
Yeah. The Serrano's a pretty hot pepper.
Yeah, so
pepper,
two little baby Serrano's with a pound and a half of other peppers, that's okay. Enough.
We are talking this morning with the man we'd like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. We have him here on the show on the first Wednesday of every month. We talk about cooking, and we'll talk some more after a short break. This is Focus.
Tune in to WILL-TV Wednesday evening for special programming to mark the 10th anniversary of September 11th, 2001. First at 8, follow the 5-year construction of the National September 11th Memorial Museum on NOVA, Engineering at Ground Zero. Then at 9, explore how people's beliefs and non-beliefs have been challenged since September 11th on Frontline, Faith and Doubt at Ground Zero. That's Wednesday evening on WILL-TV.
This is Focus, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. We are here weekday mornings with 10 different topics. In the second hour today, our guest is John McDonough. He's professor at the School of Public Health at Harvard University, and he's the author of a book that we'll be talking about, Inside National Health Reform, and trying to get an understanding of where we are now with the health reform effort, something that he argues in this book really is something that will continue for a long time. Things will continue to change, so we'll be just talking about where we are right now at the moment with it. And then tomorrow in the 10 o'clock hour, our guest will be Lawrence Wright. He's a staff writer for The New Yorker and author of the book The Looming Tower, Al-Qaeda and the Road to 9/11. It's a book that won him the Pulitzer Prize in 2007. It's now available in paperback. He'll be talking with us tomorrow. We are here weekday mornings, as I said, from 10 to noon, 10 different topics every week. You can go to our website and check the schedule. That's WILL.illinois.edu. You can also listen to past programs that you might have missed first time around. It is the first Wednesday, and for a long time, the first Wednesday of the month, we have been talking with Doyle Moore about cooking and picking a particular topic and talking a little bit about that, sometimes taking little detours, sometimes collecting recipes and stories. And this time around, he said he was interested in talking about preserves because just here lately, he's made a couple and shared the recipe, including the famous bacon preserves that we talked about right there at the beginning of the program. So one person got really excited about the bacon preserves, and then the one that he just gave. And if maybe you have a good recipe or just some sort of preserve-related story, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that too. It's will-talk@illinois.edu. I'm just really, maybe this is goofy on my part, but I'm just jazzed about the idea that this is something that you could do, and you could make up a relatively small amount of it, and as long as you use it up, you don't have to go through the whole canning process. I'm sure there are some people that maybe they grew up that way, and it was just part of what you did because you had all this stuff coming out of the garden, and you saved it so you could have it in the wintertime, and that's just that was just something people did before you could go down to the Schnucks and buy whatever off the shelf. But I like the idea that you don't have to go through all of that as long as you're going to use it up, put it in, get yourself a nice clean jar, put it in there, put it in the fridge, and enjoy it. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. And I like the idea of just making up something that really fresh, and making it for yourself and enjoying that taste.
I like most of these recipes really just come from people's heads. They aren't finite things. You have to have some idea of cooking and technique and that sort of thing. I like recipes that are sort of left up to you to decide what to do and when, because they're most of them are so old. Well, this idea of preserving is a very old one. Salt was the first major preserver, and so salted things and brined things and things that were packed away in salt. And we still end up with things. There's salted cod, and some of the anchovies are laid out in salt. Still using salt as a preserver, and so they're a long tradition of how do you save what you got when you got too much.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea too.
And I guess also as part of this general category, you have those things that are submerged in fat. I guess I hadn't really thought about confit being a preserve, but it is.
It is also. My father often talked about when they would butcher a hog, they would make up sausage, and they would fry the sausage, and then they would take sausage and lay rows of them in large crocks, and then fill the crocks with lard. And so the lard kept the air and the microbes and everything out of it. And when you wanted something, you would go in and then you would get a sausage patty that was two-thirds cooked and had lard on it. You threw it in the pan and it was sizzling away right away. And so that was used in that manner. And that tradition went on for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Mm-hmm. Everyone can get Jimmy Dean sausage now. They don't have to worry about
you don't
it.
That's another thing that people are not doing. They're not making their own sausage.
Not making their own sausages.
And, of course, I probably using lard in that manner would be frowned on now.
Not today.
Well, that's today. That's also interesting because we sort of turned. I think we kind of turned
yeah,
the corner
indeed.
On that one.
It is found that lard is not that not as evil as it was supposed to have been. I haven't quite yet gotten into the all lard pie crust, but I do know that they are lard works in a different way from butter or oils or other things. Again, this whole chemistry of cooking is so fascinating, and it goes along in waves and different things.
Mm.
Well, something else that I want to make, and I'm going to, because it's time to do it. I generally make mustards around this time of the year, and I would give them away as Christmas presents. And I learned a recipe the technique and the mannerism. I learned it while I was in England, and it was so good. And we can get all the parts here. You have to find one of the stores that will give you a quantity of mustard seeds. I think the tea shop on Walnut Street, and I think World Harvest, they have a quantity of the brown mustard seeds. And so, again, it's a matter of, well, you take so you have.
Mm-hmm.
You get the brown mustard seeds. I like to use the brown and the black together, but they are then soaked overnight in white wine vinegar, and that's a harder thing to find. I know that they have white wine vinegar at World Harvest. You soak it in the vinegar overnight, and then the next day, you grind half of it up in the Cuisinart.
Mm-hmm.
And you've ground half of it up until it is a puree and a paste, and then you add the regular mustard seed, the rest of the mustard seeds that have been swelled up with the vinegar. You add those and mix that together. And I like to put tarragon in. I would say about 2 tablespoons of tarragon is pretty nice. But another additive that I like for that is the Morocco green peppercorns. It's a Moroccan. They come in little cans, mm-hmm. and it's green peppercorns. And I like green peppercorns with mustard very much. So I always add that. And then about 2 tablespoons of Coleman's mustard powder.
That the yellow stuff that comes in a little tin?
The Jewish Dristan. Woo! That will really clean you out faster than anything, but use it sparingly. And then that there's no cooking. You don't have to heat it up or anything. It's just the mixture of those things together. Again, vinegars and you could put honey in it. Yes, there was honey in that one. Again, that was a folk recipe. I made it at the kitchen table in England, and I just remember it out of what we did. But a lot of these things are a matter of conserving. And so I guess you want to be in a conserve mood.
Yeah. Well, that sounds very – now, the green peppercorn, is that an actual pepper?
Green peppercorn, and it's – I think it's probably – it's either steamed or it's in a can. And so it's either steamed or has been cooked. And it's a little soft. It would squish up a little bit. It's very much like a caper. A green peppercorn is very much like a caper because you don't necessarily need the vinegar that it's in. I think it is in a kind of a vinegar, the peppercorn. Whenever I find them, I buy 5 or 6 cans of them at once because I never know when I'm going to see them again. But I think that is a Moroccan product, so at stores that would sell that.
I guess I ask because I'm sure that I read somewhere that the gourmet pepper mixtures that you sometimes see with a mixture of different pepper things that look like peppercorns that are in different colors and do have different flavors, that actually a lot of those things aren't really, they aren't peppers. They aren't pepper like the black pepper.
Niger, I thought. Yeah.
Maybe
it is
like
Negrim.
I don't know. And that the other things, they aren't. They're a different plant.
Yes.
They're not the same thing. I'm trying to remember.
In California, there are pepper trees, and they have those pink peppers on them. I'm wondering if those were ever used commercially. I remember seeing pepper trees with all these pink coming. I mean, they'd fall on the ground. They'd be around. I don't know if I ever knew anyone that picked them up, which is probably just as well.
Piper nigrum.
Yes.
Yes. It is black pepper. Okay. Well, anyway, questions, welcome. Or if people have a recipe to contribute, you know, whatever on your mind, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. It's our monthly cooking show. Doyle Moore is here, the man we like to call our chef in residence. And we've been doing it for a long time now on the first Wednesday of the month, picking some topic and then having a little conversation here and sometimes getting recipes and stories from people who are listening. And this time around, he said, well, he was just interested in maybe talking about preserves, partly because maybe it's just that time that traditionally people started doing canning and making jams jellies, or should be. And because he had done a couple recently, and maybe you have a recipe to share. And probably not, you know, as exciting as his bacon jam. But you don't come across something like that every day.
No, you don't. That inspired me.
All right. Here's somebody in Champaign, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm very excited about the bacon jam. I'm going to try it soon.
Oh, do.
And I have a recipe that my grandmother used to make that she called ketchup with a K.
Yes.
It's sweet. And it's chunky. It's not ketchup at all. I happen to have the recipe.
Oh, yes.
3 quarts of chopped peeled tomatoes, and I use Romas because they're a little meatier.
Three quarts.
3 quarts. This is a farm recipe, so
yes.
There's a lot of it. Okay. And 3 cups of chopped celery.
3 cups of celery.
And 2 cups of chopped onion.
And 2 cups of onion, yes.
And 1 cup of chopped green pepper.
And 1 chopped green pepper.
And you put all of that plus 1/4 cup of salt in a crock, and you let it stand overnight.
Oh, yes. Now that's going to take the moisture out of
absolutely
all of that. Yep.
Dehydrate it.
Yep.
And then you drain off the vegetables, but don't squeeze them dry.
Just, oh, all right, just to
drain
get
it off.
The excess, yes.
Then put the vegetables in a large kettle, and you're going to add 1/4 cup of brown sugar and 1.5 teaspoons of pepper. So it's got a lot, it doesn't have a lot of spices in it, but it has a lot of pepper in it.
Uh-huh.
1 cup of white vinegar and 1.5 teaspoons of pickling spice.
1.5, oh, uh-huh. Yes.
But you put the pickling spice in some cheesecloth so it doesn't float around.
Yes.
Yeah, so you make a bundle for it. So then you bring it to a boil, and you can, depending on how thick you want it, you can cook it as little as 15 minutes at a boil, or you can boil it for 1 hour and cook it down really thick. And then you ladle it into hot jars and seal it. And she's an old farm cook, so everything got put in a water bath.
Oh, yes.
For 10 minutes.
Well, it would, because she's made a large amount.
Yeah.
Too.
And I put it in jam jars.
Uh-huh.
I eat it a little at a time,
yep.
it lasts for years. If the family doesn't like it and you're the only one who eats it, it lasts for quite a while. But it's really good on flank steak.
Oh, it would be, yes,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
So flank steak, and I like it on eggs.
Now, what was the vinegar that you used?
1 cup of white vinegar.
Oh, white vinegar.
Yeah, nothing fancy.
This vinegar.
Yeah.
I didn't get the white down fast enough. And pickling spices and boil it up.
And boil it up.
That sounds awfully good. Tomatoes, celery, onion, green pepper, and the spices and salts and vinegars, and have at it. That's good.
And it's more of a chutney than a ketchup.
Well, it kind of is. It's very close. Mother made a weird thing she called chow chow.
Oh, yeah.
That's it's pretty interesting, too. From about the same time. And it's about this time of the year we make that, too.
Yeah, this is the leftover tomato time of year.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, leftover tomato at the time.
Yep, yep.
That's very good. Well, thank you very much. I like that recipe very,
very much.
Oh, well, thank
Ketchup
you.
Ketchup with a K.
Let's do one more, at least. Someone who is calling from Kankakee. Somebody who's on a cell phone. We'll get them right here, line 4. Hello.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple of questions. I just started canning last year, and I've done 2 rounds of tomatoes this year.
Yes.
And when I get done, there's a white liquid at the bottom of the jars. Is that normal, or am I doing something wrong? Or
white liquid?
A clear liquid. I'm sorry.
Clear. No, I don't think that's that, because that's not a ferment. That's not a fermentation.
No. It's just, a clear liquid.
These are fresh tomatoes.
Yes.
You've used. I would say it's tomato juice, only not the pureed mixed up kind, but the kind of.
Okay.
Jamie Oliver makes a soup where he chops up the tomatoes and then drains them, and all that comes out is a clear liquid.
Oh. Okay.
It's something you just don't think about. And so I have an idea that they're perfectly all right, but
okay.
Because it doesn't sound like a fermentation or a bacteria or anything.
Right. Okay.
No, be good
and
enough.
I've been doing pestos also.
Yes, good for you, good for you.
I grew some great basil, and it's just wonderful stuff.
I'm fond of pestos made. I'm also very stubborn. I probably will, because I've got some good basil yet. I don't like to make it for winter. I like it fresh in the summer.
Yeah.
And it's a summer taste. And
yeah,
I really stomp my foot at, and I will not buy a basil mixture already made, pesto. I'll do without it. But
what can you freeze it? Do you know?
Yes, you can freeze it.
Okay.
You can freeze it or make it up. Make it up without the olive oil, and put it in containers, and put them in the refrigerator, and then when you're ready to use it, bring it out and add the olive oil to it, at that particular point. Okay. And that's another way of saving it. You also can just freeze herbs straight out. Unfortunately, basil will turn black.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't really like to be frozen too much.
Okay.
But you can keep it in the ice box and then put the oil on it at the end again.
Okay. I remember ice boxes too.
Yes, indeed. Well, you're right.
Very good.
Okay.
All right, I enjoy your program and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you remember ice boxes, you probably also remember Dristan. Kids, that was a very popular over-the-counter decongestant once.
Yep.
I don't think that they make that anymore.
I don't think they do either.
We're kind of winding down here. Any sort of last thing you might like to leave with folks other than go out and try that bacon jam?
Well, I know they're going to do that. There's going to be a big run on bacon.
I'm sure. This next time you go to the store, folks, there's not going to be any bacon there. Everybody will have bought
thick sliced bacon will be gone.
You want to maybe just give the recipe one more time?
Well, yes, I can.
Just in case someone's tuning in, what bacon jam?
Well, okay, I'll go through making it. Yeah. Take two pounds of bacon. I like the thick slice bacon. I think you could use any bacon, but a thick slice I liked. And then you render that out pretty much. When I started to make it, I left the fat in it, and the fat got mixed up with the other stuff and always floated on top, and I had to remove it with paper towels later. So I think now the answer is get rid of that extra fat. So once you got the bacon sort of cooked down, and don't cook it till it's crisp. Cook it, and well, just like a nice piece of bacon that isn't a crispy bacon. And then two whole onions chopped, which is probably about 3 cups of chopped onions, and then 1 cup of brown sugar, and 2 cups of balsamic vinegar. And I hunted around town, and I found an inexpensive brand of balsamic vinegar, which turned out to be exactly perfect because the bottle was two cups. So I hunted around for that because I have some $35 a bottle of Saba, and I will not put
that.
And the balsamic, and then just start cooking it, but cook it at a low. Don't let it bubble and evaporate so quickly. Just simmering carefully, and then check it every once in a while, and it'll get thicker and thicker and thicker. And just don't let it get so thick that it turns into the bacon brittle.
Yeah,
the bacon brittle.
All right.
And you'll like that very much.
Right. That's it, ladies and gentlemen, for this time around. It's the man we call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. We'll be back in October. We'll talk about something
different. Is it going to be October then?
I'm afraid so. All right. We'll see you then.
Thank you. And don't cook it. Don't cook it till it's crisp. Cook it and... Well, just like a nice piece of bacon that isn't a crispy bacon. And then two whole onions chopped, which is probably about 3 cups of chopped onions. And then 1 cup of brown sugar and 2 cups of balsamic vinegar. And I hunted around town and I found an inexpensive brand of balsamic vinegar, which turned out to be exactly perfect because the bottle was two cups. So I hunted around for that because I have some $35 a bottle of Saba, and I will not put
that.
And the balsamic, and then just start cooking it, but cook it at a low. Don't let it bubble and evaporate so quickly. Just simmering carefully, and then check it every once in a while, and it'll get thicker and thicker and thicker. And just don't let it get so thick that it turns into the
bacon brittle.
The bacon brittle.
All right.
And you'll like that very much.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen, for this time around. It's the man we call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. We'll be back in October. We'll talk about something
different. Is it going to be October then?
I'm afraid so. All right. We'll see you then.
Thank you.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by the Brown Bag Deli in downtown Monticello. Brown Bag Deli offers freshly made casual lunches and dinners, homemade pies by Inge, gourmet foods, and a wacky collection of unique cards and gifts. Brown Bag Deli encourages you to join them in supporting WILL.
Right now, an update on the markets. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Agricultural information on WILL is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the marketplace. We're at mid-session. September wheat in Kansas City is trading 843.5, down 2.5. March at 874.25, down 3. September wheat at the board, 715, down 1.25. December, 755.5, down 4.